Galatians 2:20. And if you don't have it memorized, if you keep hanging on around us, you'll learn it and you'll have it memorized. You won't even have to look at that screen anymore. You'll know it by memory. So let's read Galatians 2:20 right now. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. You may be seated across the building today. We do want to welcome each and every one that is with us today. We want to welcome those watching us live today. My prayers are something that I can say to you and your family to encourage you along the way as we get into God's Word today. And we know that iron sharpens iron, and that we know that the Word of God continues to strengthen us day in and day out to encourage you and I as we walk this walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that we're not walking alone, but the Lord is walking with us every step of the way. And you know, it's almost like when you read about the poem of the footprints in the sand, you don't see a second set because Jesus is carrying us, and all that we see is the footprints of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so today we can be encouraged and know that God is with us every step of the way. If you have your Bibles today, I want you to hold them up high. They're in the pews. They're going to be projected today on the screen. We're going into the Old Testament. We haven't been in the Old Testament for a little while, but we're going to go into the Old Testament, and we're going to go to 1 Kings, the 19th chapter, beginning with the first verse. 1 Kings 19 and 1. And we want to look a little bit today as we can, and if time will permit here. The title of my message today is Dealing with Discouragement. Dealing with discouragement. And there are things in life that we deal with that will discourage us. And I'm going to go the full spectrum on this. It can be spiritually, and it can be physically, it can be emotionally, it can be mentally, financially. We deal with some type of discouragement. But I want to encourage you today that no matter where you're at, if you're dealing with discouragement, I want to encourage you today through the Word of God that you can be encouraged, that you can overcome discouragement, and you can be comforted in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's wonderful for a mother or a father to console their children. It's good that they're still living. You can talk to them. It's good to talk with a friend. You get the words of encouragement maybe from others. But listen, the ultimate encouragement that you're going to get is through the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is the one that's going to carry you. He's the one that's going to take care of you. He's the one that's going to provide for you all the way until you give your last breath. He's going to be in charge. We come into this world with nothing. Guess what? The Bible says we will go out of this world with nothing, but we will be encouraged through the Word of God, and we'll be encouraged in Christ Jesus. So let's look at this passage here a little bit as we look into God's Word dealing with discouragement. 1 Kings 19 and 1. One of these kings who ruled over Israel was named Ahab, and he provoked the anger of the Lord. His wife, Jezebel, who was a worshiper of Baal, persuaded him to build an altar to the false god. Elijah, a prophet of the Lord, was sent to him and proposed a test. Two altars were built, one to Jehovah and one to Baal. And the priest of Baal called upon their god to send down fire, but there was no answer. And then Elijah called upon the Lord God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Israel, and fire came down and burnt up the offering. And the people turned upon the priest of Baal and killed them all. And King Ahab had a wicked wife named Jezebel. And Elijah went into the wilderness so Jezebel could not kill him. And he found a place to hide. He slept under a tree, and an angel came to Elijah. And the angel gave him food and water. And Elijah ate and laid down again, and the angel came again. He told Elijah to eat more. And the angel said, Elijah would travel a long way. And Elijah ate and drank again. And Elijah, Elijah traveled 40 days and 40 nights, and he fasted. He did not eat or drink, and Elijah went to the mountain where Moses had seen the burning bush. And Elijah lived in a cave in the mountain, and God asked him what he was doing there. And Elijah said, the people did not obey God's commandments. They killed him, killed God's prophets. And Elijah was the only prophet who had not been killed. And the people wanted to kill him too. God told Elijah to stand on the mountain. A strong wind blew, and it was so strong that it broke the rocks into pieces. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. Then there was a fire. And after the fire, Elijah heard a quiet voice. And he knew it was the voice of God. And God came to him. He talked to Elijah, and God said he would choose a new prophet. His name was Elisha. Can I hear an amen to God's word? Most of us are not strangers to discouragement. Most of us have known times when our discouragement actually turns into despair. The main trouble with despair is that it is self-fulfilling. Let me say this again. The main trouble with despair is that it is self-fulfilling. People who fear the worst tends to invite it. Let me say it again. People who fear the worst tend to invite it. Elijah went through a period of discouragement. He went through a period of despair. He went through a period of depression, and there is much we can learn from him. Now, I want you to know today, it doesn't matter how great of a spiritual giant that you and I become. It doesn't matter. You can know the Bible from Genesis to Revelations. You can have all the scripture memorized. You can have all the prayer that you want to have. You can have everything at your fingertips. But I want you to know today, it is no respect of person. The enemy, I want you to know today, is out to kill, steal, and to destroy. And the Bible says if he can deceive the very elect, that is what he will do and try to do. Because let me share with you today, the devil does not sleep. The devil does not take breaks. The devil is on the loose. He is on the run. We have a conscious and we have a subconscious. Your conscious is what is dealing with today in your life right now while you're awake. Your subconscious is at nighttime when you are asleep. Now, when you go to sleep, it doesn't mean the devil goes to sleep. He's wide awake. And he can come into your dreams. He can come into your mind. He can try to do things and share things even when you are asleep. Have you ever had it where you thought of something through the night and you had a dream and you wake up and you remember and you think, man, that was crazy what was going on in my dream. I can't believe I dreamed that. Well, I want you to know the enemy does not sleep, because what he's wanting to do is he's wanting to discourage you. He's wanting you not to go in the direction that the Lord Jesus Christ wants you to go. Now, we talk about this man, Elijah. I want you to know a little bit about him today. Elijah was a spiritual giant. Elijah was a great man. God thought so much of him. He had done so many miracles with the Lord, and there was so many things that he had done. But he got to this point where that when he did the supernatural, that a God came down upon Elijah and he was able to burn up the offerings. He was able to do what God asked him to do. But guess what? A little fear got into him because Ahab's wife, which she was not king. Remember, she's just the wife of the king, but it seems like when the woman gets in charge, you know, it seems like everything else follows. So Jezebel was telling Ahab how to run the country. And so when Elijah saw that Jezebel was after him, what did he do? He took off and he ran for his life because fear gripped his heart. Discouragement had gripped his heart. There will be times that you and I will deal with discouragement. And I've always said, and I will continue to say this, it's either we will get better through the discouragement, we'll learn through the discouragement, or we will get bitter. In other words, we will get angry because we're being discouraged. It just seems like you may say, well, Pastor, I put 1 foot forward and 3 feet, 3 foot back, you know, 3 feet back. You know, I put this here, I do this, and then I get knocked back down again. I want you to know today, God sees the knockdown that you deal with. God sees the frustration that you're dealing with. God sees your circumstance, where it's at, but I want you to know today, be encouraged, be lifted up, because the Lord Jesus Christ is there. We've got to call on His name. We've got to trust Him and pray to Him and say, Lord, help me with this unbelief. Help me with this discouragement. And Lord, bring me to where I can be encouraged. And when we call upon His name, when He sees your circumstance and He sees the situation, He will come on the scene and He will begin to be your God in your life. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My first point today is this: the cause of discouragement. What is the cause of discouragement? It becomes emotional stress. It becomes emotional stress. I have never seen so much in my life with some that are stressing out because of the brand new president of Donald Trump. I have never seen it in my life. It is, there are some that are happy, there are some that are not happy. There are some that are dealing with stress because of what has taken place. But I want to encourage you folks, today, God is totally in charge. It doesn't matter who is president. It doesn't matter whoever it is. God is still in charge. God is still in control. Whether you like your new president or not, it doesn't change God. It doesn't change what He's going to do. It's not going to change anything that God has planned for the future, even of America or of this world, because God is in charge, and we as saints of God and we that are serving the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't serve man, but we serve God, because we look to the cross, because the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is bringing us victory day by day. Therefore, we have no room to be discouraged, but now we can be encouraged because we've got Jesus Christ, His arm are wrapped around us, and we can bask in His love, we can bask in His victory, and know that God is going to take care of us every step of the way. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. He had just begun through an incredible confrontation. I'm talking about Elijah. Emotional stress began to take place. There was physical exhaustion begin to take place. Anytime that you and I may win a battle, of something that we've been dealing with. Anytime if God heals us of cancer or if God heals us of things that we're going through, sometimes it will cause us to be that spiritual giant. But I want you to know today, we still have to be in prayer. You can't just chalk it up that you've won this battle and there's no more praying going on. There's no more talking to God anymore until you get to through something else. No, we are to continue to pray to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're continue to be encouraged by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're continue to give Him everything so that we can continue on and not be discouraged. Listen, he was a spiritual giant, but he had run from Jezebel. 1 Kings 19:3, and when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. He had gone even beyond that because he was so scared of his life. But understand, he was the spiritual giant before it took place because he had done what God had asked him to do, because that's what prophets are to do. They're to obey the Lord and to do and be the ambassador for God as he was the prophet that he was. But guess what? The flesh began to try to take over. 1 Kings 19:4, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, "It's enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's." But God had spared his life. He didn't realize God had spared his life. All the prophets had been dead, but Elijah was still there. There was a plan. There was a purpose. He didn't see the plan at the point. He didn't see the purpose at the point. He wanted to get in a cave. He wanted to die. He wanted to give up. But God was with him, but he didn't see what God had in store for him. You see, God has something in store for you. You may not see it now. You might not see it tomorrow. But God has something in store. You're not just merely existing in this world and you're going to be buried 6 foot under. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. He has the destination for you. He has what He has in store for you to have life and have it more abundantly. I want you to know today, as Elijah began to deal with personal opposition, Jezebel had made threats to Elijah. 1 Kings 19:2, then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "She's not king, but the wife seems to be the king right now. And Ahab's just sitting back letting his wife do what she wants to do, be what she wants to be, say what she wants to say, go where she wants to go." And so Elijah is on the run. And the Bible says that Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So let the gods do to me and more also. And if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." In other words, he was actually in danger. But yet, significant achievement. 1 Kings 18:42, so Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, "Go up now, look towards the sea." So he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." And seven times he said, "Go again." And then he came to pass the seventh time, and that he said, "There is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea." So he said, "Go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you." And now it happened in the meantime, the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezebel. He had just seen a great victory. I want you to know today, discouragement often comes after triumph. Let me say this again. Discouragement often comes after triumph. I will say it and will say it again. The devil has no respect of a person. I don't care how spiritual you are. He is going to do everything he can to stop, listen to me, to stop the mighty moving of God in your life. He will put obstacle courses in your life. He will try to do all kinds of ways to stop you getting closer to the Lord and doing the plan and the purpose that God has for you. Therefore, we need to understand and be wise to Satan's devices. That's why the Bible says that we must understand that we must be wise to his devices, because he's cunning, he's crafty, and he knows exactly what's going on in our life. And so therefore we need to be in prayer. That's why the Apostle Paul says pray without ceasing. We must pray in our minds. We must pray in our hearts. We must keep a prayer in our hearts. Listen, basic fear began to take place. 1 Kings 19 and 2, then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So let the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." He was afraid of what Jezebel could and would do to him, but he also forgot that God was on his side. You can be the spiritual giant all you want, but sometimes if we're not careful, a little doubt will get into our hearts. A little doubt will get into our ears. A lot of times we'll look at something and we'll say, "Oh, that'll never happen. Oh, that'll never happen. That can't happen. That's not going to happen." And listen, life and death is in the power of the tongue. That's what the book of Proverbs says. Life and death is in the power of the tongue, and they that eat of it will surely die of it. And therefore, we need to understand that we've got to be careful when we speak that we're not speaking death, but we are speaking life. We're speaking life. Listen, we see this. He was afraid of what Jezebel could do. Fear is a powerful emotion, and it's usually negative. Fear is a powerful emotion, and it's usually negative. Listen, the simplistic of thinking, he evidently thought that a victory would care for everything. This made him vulnerable to despair, and the despair of his cousin would be disappointment. Heavy responsibility was even placed upon him. In 1 Kings 19 and 10, he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel has forsaken your covenant, tore down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." He got discouraged because everybody else was falling out of place. Listen, don't get your eyes on everybody else. Don't get your eyes because somebody's not serving the Lord or somebody doesn't claim to know the Lord Jesus. Don't get mad. Don't get all upset because somebody's not living the way you want them to live. Don't get upset because you see people not serving the Lord. Listen, it is a choice, folks. It's a choice whether you want to accept Jesus Christ in your life, in your heart and life. God is not a God with a billy bat from heaven trying to make you serve Him. He's not trying to hit you in the head. Freely given is freely received. And so there again, God is saying, "I am love. I want to love you. I want to save you. And I want to bring you peace, joy, and contentment." But don't look at everything else that's going on around you. Listen, the blame begins to be shifting because Elijah says, "Well, I can't be the prophet you asked me, God, because they're not taking in your covenant. They're not doing this. They're not doing that." Listen, blame shifting. He laid the blame on the children of Israel and saw his problem as that of someone else. Improper comparison, looking at what's happening. Look what happened to the fathers of old. I'm not better than they. Look what they did. You know, we've got to quit playing the blame game. of why you're where you're at today, why the situation that you're in. You can't blame your family. You can't blame your friends. You can't put the blame on somebody else. Look to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I fully surrender to your lordship. I fully surrender to you, Lord. I'm not looking to the left. I'm not looking to the right. Just because somebody's in one situation doesn't mean that you're going to be in that situation. When somebody else is in another circumstance, it doesn't mean you're going to be in another circumstance. You trust the Lord and keep your eyes on the cross and say, Lord, I give you and my family. For Lord, I don't look around, but I look to you, for you're the author and the finisher of my faith. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. My second point today is the process of discouragement. It becomes a flight. He had ran away from the trial, but the trial was still going to be there. You can't run from a cave. You can't run from something. You can't run from that. David says in the Bible, he says, Lord, if I make my bed in hell, Lord, you're there. If I make my bed in heaven, Lord, you're there. He says, Lord, wherever I go, you are there. I can't get away from you. Why? Because that's the God that loves us. That's a God that understands. That's a God of great compassion, that he does not leave us. He does not forsake us, but he is with us and he's there, closer than a brother and a sister to us all. I want you to know today that through the process of discouragement, it can become negative thinking. His word dripped with negativity each time he would speak. He began to talk about that he's under a broom tree. He's praying that he might die, that he wanted to give up, all because he did not realize who his God truly was. You see, when the rubber meets the pavement in our life, that's when we see what God does, the mighty hand of God, because we're trusting, we're believing. Job trusted the Lord day in and day out. He said, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. His own wife says, Job, you've done something wrong. He says, no, you're a foolish woman. He says, you speak as a fool. I know who my Redeemer is. I know who my God is. In other words, Job was not going to get discouraged, but he was going to hold his head up high and he was going to look to his God, because he knew his God was faithful to him. God is a God of faithfulness. He is faithful to you to the very end. Listen. Third, the result of discouragement. If we're not careful, discouragement will become personal isolation. Through all of this, he feels he's alone. The loss of perspective. I am the only one left. His loss of perspective. His perspective was, Lord, I've lost everything. He had not lost everything. God was with him. God was with him. God was showing him. God was bringing things to him. He had just done a miracle before the people of Israel. He had done the miracle through God. But guess what? As spiritual giants, if we're not careful, we'll get our eyes on man and not our eyes on God. We will look at everything else that's going on around. Oh, she's not living right. Oh, he's not living right. Oh, he's cussing. Oh, he's drinking. Oh, he's smoking. We'll get our minds on everything else, but we need to keep the main thing. The main thing, you need to keep yourself right. You need to stay at the altar with God, with yourself. Because one day you all and I, including this pastor, will give an account one day in how we live and what we do. Don't worry about what John Doe's doing, what Susie Q's doing. Keep your eye on the cross. Keep your eye on the main thing, and let God be the main thing in your life. And let everything else fall. Let the chains fall. You see, the enemy wants to chain you up. He wants to tie you up. He wants to tangle you all up. Let the chains fall and let victory arise. Let victory arise and let God be God in your life. Hallelujah. Listen, if we're not careful, we'll become self-pity. And self-pity becomes the leaves as it begins to cause us to be addicted. And the addiction of waste when we deal with self-pity. Even as it goes as far as it can go even to suicidal tendencies. This is what was dealing with Elijah. He was wanting to die. He really didn't want to die, but he just thought about it. If he just wanted to die, he could have stayed where he was, and Jezebel would have taken care of it. But the Bible clearly lets us know in James 1 and 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing the testing of your faith, faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven, tossed by the winds. For let not that man suppose that he would receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man and unstable in all his ways. Fourth, there's the cure for disappointment and discouragement. Get up. Physically, this was the only, after the rest was granted. Sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is take a nap. But it's time to get up. It is time to get up. You and I will go through some valleys, but it is never for us to stay in the valleys. It's never for you to wallow in the valleys. It's never for you to stay in the valleys. There is a cure for discouragement. I want you to know this. 1 Kings 19 and 7, and the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. Look up. Spiritually, God came and spoke to him and gave him a message of hope. Elijah thought he was going to come in the wind, and he wasn't in the wind. He was waiting for him to come in the fire, but he didn't come in the fire. Pastor, what did he do? He came in a small, still voice. Listen, it's not that God's going to come in a big bang. It's not that God's going to come in a big emotion. But God can come to you where you're at in a small, still voice. Peace, Jesus says, I leave with you. Peace that the world does not understand, but the peace that I give you. He clearly lets us know in a small, still voice. It's not going to be something dramatic. It could, but it was not. It was not for Elijah. He was waiting for fire to come down from heaven. He was waiting for the wind to blow, and the rocks, the Bible says, was broken into pieces. But that was not God's voice. The voice was a small, still voice. Folks, that's that time where that we're alone with God. We can be in our prayer closet. We can be in our home. We can be in a quiet place, and as we open up the Bible, the Holy Spirit can speak to us in a small, still voice. Listen, we must look up and know that God is with us. Linking up and emotionally as God gave him Elisha to strengthen him. God was allowing Elijah to take that break, to be strengthened, but to know that there was another apprentice was coming. There was someone else that was coming right behind Elijah. Someone is coming behind you. And I want you to know today, we may be here today, we may be gone tomorrow, but God's work continues on. God continues to move as He is moving. God continues to do as He does. Listen, I want you to know today, we must yoke up with our Lord. Gird up. Practically, God gave him a job to do. It's easier to do your way into feeling than it is to feel your way into doing. Let me say it again. God gave him a job to do. It is easier to do your way into feeling than it is to feel your way into doing. Shape up. Elijah had still complained, and even after seeing God's glory, but God laid tasks before him. The choice was his. He clearly said in 1 Kings 19 and 14, as I close today, and he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel has forsaken your covenant, tore down your altars, and killed your prophets, and with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Listen, despair is not handled by giving in. It is handled best by giving out something of yourself to others. By giving out, a person has no time, listen, has no time for despair. So that despair begins to depart from you because it's not focused in on you. Listen, it is never for us to focus in on us that we consume with ourself. You see, there is people that walk around self-righteous, that people just walk around and just say, well, it's all about me. It's about what I'm going to do, when I'm going to do it, how I'm going to do it, where I'm going to do it. No, it's about Jesus Christ and Him crucified in your heart and life. And when you get your minds off yourself and get your mind on others, that being disappointment begins to leave, and that discouragement begins to leave, because you don't have time to be discouraged. You don't have time to be disappointed. You don't have time for despair, because guess what? You're not thinking of yourself, but you're thinking of others, and you're helping others. You see, if Elijah had gotten himself off of himself and got his mind back focused in on God, then Jezebel would not have had him running. But understand, God is with you. He is with us, and He will help us every step of the way. In my closing, and I know I'm closing here, but I wanted to read this song. A contemporary Christian artist, Michael English, sings a song in Christ Alone. And this is the song I'm going to read to you. In Christ alone will I glory, though I could pride myself in battles won. For I've been blessed beyond measure, and by His strength alone I overcome. Oh, I could stop and count successes like diamonds in my hand, but those trophies could not equal to the grace by which I stand. In Christ alone I place my trust, and I find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope, is Christ alone. He goes on and says, in Christ alone will I glory, for only by His grace I'm redeemed, and only His tender mercy could reach beyond my weakness to my need. Now I seek no greater honor than just to know Him more, and to count my things but lost to the glory of the Lord. In Christ alone I place my trust. I find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope, is Christ alone. I place my trust. And I find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope, is Christ alone. And folks, I want you to know today, in everything that you do, in everything that you hope to be, it must be Christ and Him alone. It must be His source. It must be His strength. It must be His help.